In this segment of hammers, we're going to talk about all the different types that are available, and we're going to start by talking about what we would consider non-building trade-related hammers. Each one of these professions could be considered a trade, but not all of them have to do with building. Like, for example, a judge's gavel. Technically, when you look at it and the physical characteristics of it, it's classified as a hammer, but it's not doing anything other than making noise. A chef's meat tenderizer, again, exact same characteristics and technically a hammer. Some of them can have a very jagged edge used to tenderize meat. You could find them in many kitchens and restaurants across the valley. I think we have two different types at our house, and one we don't even isn't just for meat. Another one's specifically for garlics or mashing other vegetables if you're putting them and if you're trying to get them in a very fine liquid state. Rock climbers. Sure, there are people that make a profession rock climbing as it relates to like technical rescues, as a recreation, mountain climbers. It's just a recreational hammer for scaling the north side of Camelback Mountain. And the list can go on, but we're going to move on to what we call the brass hammer. Now, this is a non-sparking hammer often used in oil fields. You've also got mallets. Now, these are smaller than mauls, but they're designed for what we would call a non-driving hammer. You're not trying to sink a nail. You're not trying to drive a shaft. You're not trying to crush something. It's more used when we're trying to shape something. I've got, personally, a rawhide mallet where it's a wood handled and it's a very thick rawhide rolled up very tight with a screw set from the top down into the wood handle. And that's what I use for my leather working, whether I'm punching holes in the leather work for sewing or more commonly used for is controlling the decorative part of leather working where you're punching in your patterns and you're shaping your designs. There's also mallets that are made out of rubber. There's mallets that are made out of plastics. And there's mallets that are made out of wood. And these are some of the oldest forms of, not rubber or plastic, but the wood maul is arguably the oldest form of wood hammer that we can have, that we've ever found record of throughout the history of mankind. Then you get into teening and peening. And these should be pretty obvious what they're for. Ting, ting, ping, ping. You got it. Those are hammers that are used in metalworker industries. And you've got plenty of them. You've got the ball peen, the chisel peen, the cross peen, the diagonal peen, the point peen. And if there was one thing I was better at was metalworking. That is a trade and a skill I've often admired and thought, man, I wish I had the time to designate just a little bit more to honing and developing my metalworking skills, but it's just not been a reality yet. But when we get into wood framing, or carpentry hammers. I mean, roofers have their own hammers. Drywallers have their own hammers. Framers have their own hammers. Trim carpenters have their own hammers. Electricians have their own hammers. Masons have their own hammers. And all have a different function based on the materials they're working with and a different function. The weights are different. The sizes are different. The shapes. The list can go on. When it comes to selecting the proper hammer, for the average residence, we're probably looking at a carpenter's hammer. Now, there's a claw hammer and what's called a rip hammer. Claw's probably the most basic one you've seen in and around the hardware stores where the hooks used to pull nails are curved, whereas a rip hammer or a framing hammer, it's a lot straighter. And I personally like those a lot better, even for your average homeowner. What happens in a lot of those claw hammer applications is if you're trying to pull a nail, you end up in a situation where there's such an arc in the hammer, if you've got a stuck or stubborn nail, that harsh arc can start to bend the nail or it starts to push the head of the strike part of the hammer into the material and can leave a dent. One way you can avoid that is to get another piece of material, like a wood block, put it on the surface, then slide the head of the hammer. So you've now created, if you picture your flat surface and the nail head sticking out about an inch, we'll put a little block of wood in front of that, a a 2x4 is really 1.5 inch. So this piece of wood is now 1.5 inches higher. Well, you can now use that as additional leverage to slide the claws underneath and pull the nail the rest of the way without trying to jerk on it or beat up the surface that you're trying to pull this nail out of. But the reason I like the rip claws better is you've just got a lot more strength with them. And there's a technique that you can use called rocking, where instead of trying to pull straight out, instead of beating and beating and beating, and if that wood plank, that wood riser doesn't work either, with that rip hammer, you can rock it once you get it, the teeth wedged as far into the nail as you can, and the hammer won't move any farther. You can then gently rock the hammer left and right. Now, this bends the nail, but it gradually pulls it out. And it's a great technique that, in a lot of cases, I found has been the only way to get the nail out. And it's a lot harder to use the rocking technique when you've got these deep, hard-angled curves. Now, how heavy of a hammer? They'll go up to 30, 32 ounces. Now, that's a framer's hammer and something that you really don't need as a general homeowner because you're not sinking 16-penny nails into studs framing a wall. Most of your work is going to be done and on the decorative side of things, replacing trim work around the house, you know, lighter projects like that that most homeowners aren't afraid to stop and tackle. 16 ounce is very common. 20 ounce is very common. Those are very manageable. But you can even get down into 13, and I think you're getting a little light there for the majority of projects that, you know, it just puts too much work on the person and not enough work on the hammer itself, in my opinion. There's a lot of new features that have also come out with hammers over the last 2 or 3 decades alone by themselves. What used to always just be a straight handled, you know, you did see craftsmen back in the wood handled era at the turn of the century when lumber milling to make hickory wood handles was an entire industry by itself. They were shaping them ergonomically by hand. And then mass production came out and you saw the straight sticks for a long time. Well, with the fiberglass and the steel frames, now you're starting to see a return of ergonomic handles in a lot of different applications. I guess it's just because I'm too used to the straight stick. I've never really gotten completely comfortable with the feel of an ergonomic hammer in my hand. They do feel good and they do swing good, but there is just something weird I can't get over. And I think it's just because I am so used to, again, the straight style that I grew up using. Handles are a big key. We had mentioned wood earlier. If you have a wood-handled hammer, keep it inside. Do not leave it outside. Try not to get it rained on. If it starts to dry out, get an oil and oil it so that it maintains its integrity. Where the wood handles often fail, the wood shrinks and the dowel that's driven into the top of the wood handle to expand the wood to compress it against the metal head of the hammer dries up and shrinks, and that slides off. I remember driving nails and additional objects into the top to extend the life of that hammer. But once it starts that slip, just know there's only a limited amount you're going to be able to do before you either have to get a new handle that hasn't been dried out or a new hammer altogether. Steel frame hammers came along, and these took a while to get off. A lot of the old-time carpenters used to wood it, probably the same kind of mentality I have on the ergonomic versus the straight stick is, well, I've always used a wood one. I'm not going to go to a metal one. And a lot of people said the shock that it put on their forearm wore their arm out too fast, and that's why they preferred the wood one. Well, you've got rubberized handles now that are designed to take that shock absorber. And I will tell you, first metal hammer I ever bought is over 20 years old and still something I use regularly. I think my hammer collection for all the different things I counted last week was over 12 different types of hammers that I've got in my shed for different types of jobs. And then you've got the leather handle that's just a beautiful look for something that looks like you would find out of your grandpa's shed. It doesn't have near the shock cushion of the rubber handle, but if it's just for around the house and occasional use, aesthetically, it's going to be probably the nicest looking hammer you can find. A couple real quick additions. There is a new hammer that has a magnet on the head. And what this does is instead of having to use your fingers to hold the nail, the hammer holds the nail. And this takes a lot of practice, but it allows you to set the nail without having to hold it with your finger. And once that's set, the magnet connection isn't that hard. It's just enough so that you can move the hammer up and down and overhead and over your neck and behind you, and it won't fall off. But as soon as you make contact with the surface you're trying to nail, the nail will stay in that wood surface, and you can tap a few more times and then set it. Personally, I have found that it takes more time messing with it than it does just holding it with your finger. The real benefit comes in to very contortion-related situations where you might be trying to reach around something or reach overhead, or for whatever reason you can't use your other hand to hold the nail. That's when it becomes worth it. Otherwise, it's much faster just to hold it with your fingers, tap, set it, and go from there. Other trades that rely on hammers outside of home building, geologists and their excavating hammers. There's chipping hammers, joining hammers, lathing hammers, lump hammers, farrier handles for horseshoers, and sledgehammers, although that could be applied to a home building as well, but a lot of that is more in your demolition style for the start of construction. This is the Hammer Hour here at Rosie on the House. This entire month we'll be focusing on different tools, the manufacturers in America that make them, how to properly use them, the proper use and selection of these tools, as tools have come a long way over the course of history. And the next segment, we dive into the hammer we've selected for the Rosie on the House 30th Anniversary Toolbox. It's a box we put together with the 7 essential tools every homeowner must have, and this toolbox is American made. The tools are American made. And the proceeds go to our 3 nonprofits. It's our way of saying thanks for 30 years.